Here we go. Final seconds.
Clutch is his name. Talking sports is his game.
End zone. Touchdown with no time left.
Pushing the limits.
They win on the last play of the ball game.
There are no limits.
Are you kidding?
Who can you count on to make the last throw or shot?
Wow, and the game is over.
Mikey Clutch. This is the final play.
Unbelievable.
We are back. We are back. Welcome in to the final play with Mikey Clutch. I am your host, Mikey Clutch. Thursday night football, Jets, Texans. I will get into that. We'll preview some of these games today for Sunday football. And yeah, let's get into that Texans and Jets right away. Jets was favored. They won. A lot of people were surprised by that one. But as I mentioned in the previous pod, when you're losing your top two guys in first down receptions in Diggs and Collins for the Texans, I told you it was going to be hard for C.J. Stroud to move the ball and the Texans kind of continue drives. And that exactly is what happened. C.J. Stroud went 11 for 30. He just, you know, Tank Dell had a day, but he had more than half of the receptions, and just nobody else could really get going. And Dalton Schultz has probably a couple garbage time catches at the end there. So really, he really only completed like nine when the game was competitive and kind of close. I mean, they did try to look for a drive at the end, but they were down two scores at that point. And yeah, the Jets looked good. Rodgers got the ball down. Davante Adams went out with for concussion protocol, went through the testing, came back, caught that 37-yarder. And Garrett Wilson, I mean, another grab of the year in the back of the end zone. We almost had 2 1-foot touches in the end zone, you know, in back-to-back primetime games. Remember George Pickens last Monday had the same foot down twice. Garrett Wilson, almost the same thing happened, but his shin did end up coming down inbounds, and his knee, they did say his knee actually came down inbounds. To me, even the slow-mo replay, it looked like it was shin instead of knee. Knee looked like it touched out of bounds, but I guess enough of the knee hit inside. But the Jets, yeah, they get a win. They're 3-6. Texans drop 1-6-3. I wouldn't worry too much about the Texans. I just think this was a bad spot. No Nico Collins, no Diggs. That offense just didn't look the same. Joe Mixon still, Joe Mixon was the bright spot. And if there is one thing about that Jets defense is you can run on them. And Joe Mixon went for over 100 yards. It did look like he was going to get, you know, 5 yards here, 5 yards there. He was running strong. They just kind of got away with that from that in the game when they fell behind. And I thought the Jets played a really good game defensively, you know, for what they had. And offensively, again, Aaron Rodgers, he has some of those throws where he's just perfect. Davante Adams missed one of the – I mean, Rodgers does this, right? He's had multiple games this season where he puts the ball exactly where it needs to be. And he did another one, and Davante kind of let him down right in his hands, over the defender. It just – Davante dropped it. But other than that, this offense still didn't look too impressive. And even if you watch the game, there were a lot of defensive injuries on both sides of the ball. Guys getting knocked out of the game, going to the sideline. You know, when Will Anderson is not on the field for the Texans, Danielle Hunter still got to the quarterback. You know, one or two times he got a couple of hits, but no sacks for Danielle Hunter. And Will Anderson just kind of on the sideline working things out, and that's your opposite pass rusher, Danielle Hunter. And when you can't get to Rodgers and you give him time, I thought it would be a lot of quick throws. And there were. There were some screens. There were some really quick throws, which Rodgers likes to do, especially to help that offensive line who's banged up. But the one play that also stood out, rookie. What are you doing? Corley gets that, like, the handoff, runs, and guys, I don't understand why these players are still doing this, dropping the ball right before you cross the goal line. Fucking run through the goal line, score that touchdown. I hate, you know, going back to when DeSean Jackson did it for Philly. You know, you can't do shit like that. I thought that was a rookie moment. Learn from that mistake. That was only his second touch of the year, which is also kind of crazy. And that's what you do with it. So, good job for the Jets. Get a win. They're mathematically still in it, as Aaron Rodgers said. But as far as Texans side of things, I think they'll be okay. Joe Mixon still looking like Joe Mixon. And then once Nico comes back at some point, then the Diggs loss won't be as major. It just looked really bad when you got Nico Collins and Diggs out, guys who move the chains and guys that Stroud can rely on and just find at a last-second moment notice to get them the ball. But, yeah, that's Thursday night. Jets win. Moving on to today's games. All righty. I got a few games that I'm really looking forward to watch. I'm going to start with the one that's probably going to be the most watched today, and that is the Green Bay Packers playing the Detroit Lions. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, they are expected to play for Green Bay. The Lions, they are just coming off blowing out a bunch of these teams, running up the score. Xavier McKinney, though, for the Green Bay Packers, was interviewed in the locker room, and he was saying the Detroit Lions, they go out and they try to embarrass people. And the way the Green Bay organization and the players in that organization, well, they're not going to, you know, stand up for that, and they're not going to let that happen. And I do think, even with a hobbled Love, these games get competitive in the NFC North. And we've already seen a few of them this year. Last year, these were competitive. And when Jordan Love, this is kind of Thanksgiving against Detroit was kind of the turning point from him last year. And that Thanksgiving game, they ended up beating Detroit, who were also hot. They beat them 29-22. I kind of do like Green Bay in this game. Little teaser for the debt-free pick three. But I think if you can limit, it's going to be hard to shut down both Gibbs and Montgomery in the run game. All the weapons they have on offense for Detroit. This, I feel like, could go back and forth. Both defenses kind of do give up a lot of yards and some points. Green Bay, a little bit better in the passing game than the run game. I could see this going back and forth. I like Jordan Love and Jared Goff to kind of sling the ball around to all the different weapons and kind of just match each other. You know, I could see both quarterbacks going for, you know, 250, about 20 to 25 completions. The running game for Detroit, I do feel with that 1-2 punch, has the upper hand. Montgomery usually does run well against Green Bay, and he did last year. You know, 70 yards for him and a 50-yard game for Gibbs. I think that's solid. You get 120 out of that duo just to kind of keep Jordan Love in that operation off the field. But Josh Jacobs, you know, you bring a power runner in, you know, for that NFC North football outside. Granted, even though, what is it? Half the teams in that division are outside in dome. So I do like Josh Jacobs having a good, decent game against this Detroit defense as well. But this is just a good NFC fun matchup. This NFC North, man, it is just, it's a gauntlet for whoever's playing them. And then even for the division opponents, I really do like all these teams to basically split each other this year. You know, maybe a couple teams get swept by certain ones. This one I feel like is a series split. And I like the home teams in this. But I'll get to my prediction of the score later, as I said, because that free pick three. Moving on to the next game that I'm kind of highlighting here. Rams-Seahawks, another divisional game. Rams coming off a really good Thursday night win against the Minnesota Vikings, who seem to be kind of on a downfall, but when you get Nacua and Kupp both back in the same game, I mentioned in the beginning of the year, my prediction was that the Rams were going to be the ones that kind of gave the Niners a run for the money, and Arizona would be frisky. But Arizona is actually leading the division right now. And the Rams, if Stafford, I said, stays healthy, they're a playoff team, and they can make a run at this division. Well, he got both of his guys back last week, and that offense looked great. Because when you pair them with Kyren Williams, that is a very hard offense to defend. Now, Nacua is questionable with a knee, but is expected to play. But I honestly think even without Nacua, and as long as you have Kupp for this game, I think they'll be okay. I do think they're going to be able to move the ball on Seattle. The thing is, their defense. Now, their defense is kind of an underrated unit. Both these teams have been dealing with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. But I just, for some reason, man, these Rams. I really like these Rams today. Just for all the reasons I said, I think you'll, with Seattle, they're really pass happy. And if you kind of get predictable in your offense if you can't have a balanced attack, right? And you take one or two options away. But DK Metcalf, second week in a row, potentially, going to be out. It looks like he's going to come back after the week 10 bye. So that alone, a big physical receiver who could challenge these corners of the Rams out, and some of the defensive linemen are still out for the Seattle Seahawks. So the Rams offensive line getting healthier. It's just a lot of things going the Rams way. And the fact that Seattle hasn't been the same Seattle team with that 12th fan, 12th man there in Seattle. I mean, they're 2-3 at home. And yes, the Rams are 0-3 on the road, but a chunk of that is because they were missing some key guys. So I am going to go with Rams in this one. And you'll see a theme other than the next game I'm going to cover. A theme with the debt-free pick three. So I'm not going to give my score predictions on this one yet. But I do like the Rams in this game against Seattle on the road. And then finally, got to talk about the Chicago Bears, right? Coming off that emotional loss, last second play, guys weren't in the right position. Really heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, gut-punching loss for the Bears. And the Cardinals, coming off a win against Miami, two last second wins. Granted, the defenses they're facing aren't as good as what they're going to play in the Bears. And this one, the Bears do struggle against some mobile quarterbacks as far as containing them in the run, but I think the Bears will have a decent day today defensively. I do think it really is tough to get yards or score points. I'm sorry, not get yards, but score points on this Bears defense. And they are, to me, on paper and just eye test wise, they look like the best defense in the league, minus the Chiefs. The Chiefs are their defensive unit is easily the best in the league, but I think the Bears are, they can match up very well on that side. And you know, Kyler, a little up and down this year, but he looks like he's been playing a little bit better the last few weeks, except for that Green Bay game, but they're at home. They seem to play a little bit better offensively at home. I just, Caleb Williams, that Bears team, having that game kind of ripped away from them, even though they started off a little rough and they were down and they had to come back. But to lose a comeback like that, it hurts. But their offensive line is depleted with injury. Jaquan Brisker, their safety, who I love Brisker. He's one of my favorite safeties in the league. He's going to be out. It's just what defense is can I rely on more, and it's the Bears. I think it'll be a close, potentially low-scoring game because this Arizona defense is kind of with Gannon, I think Gannon's a good coach. And with what he has on defense and what they've been able to do to some offenses, I think it will be okay. But I'm sticking with the Bears to win this one 23-20 on the road, kind of bouncing back from that heartbreaking loss. Now, the Bears are 0-3 on the road, but I think a dome team in Arizona, you're not – Bears, listen, Bears, Chicago football. And they get a nice weather break in Arizona. But I think they got to be dialed in. I think Eberflus is going to be able to talk to this team after that Hail Mary against the Washington Commanders and kind of get them right back on, you know, the right foot. So I got the Bears winning this one in Arizona 23-20. But those were the game picks. You know, it's time for the picks that matter.
We don't do anything illegal.
Debt-free pick three.
Look what I found in my pocket. Look, a year's salary right here. What I call them? A fun coupon.
This is the debt-free pick three.
On the final play.
With Mikey Clutch.
Debt-free pick three. We are 9-8-1 on the year. Missed a few weeks because out of town and all that good stuff. But we're back, and we're going to bring you another winning week. And we'll start with the Rams at the Seahawks. Told you I was picking the Rams. I just love that offense when they have all their pieces there, that like the elite pieces. When they're healthy and together, it's very hard to stop them. And I like Kyron Williams, that running game. The amount of touches he's had is kind of daunting because the kind of wear and tear on running backs like that tend to come a little bit quicker. And he is just a dominant running back. And McVay, it's that Shanahan zone run scheme. It's like that plug and play. No matter who running back is in there, gets yards. But when you have a really good running back, the numbers just explode. I mean, look at what McCaffrey was able to do after, you know, Mostert had a good yards. Elijah Mitchell in that Shanahan. You know, Todd Gurley went with McVay early on. So when you get those elite runners, it is just very hard to stop them in this zone run scheme. And then you pair it with Nacua and Kupp, who are just route masters, who always seem to be wide open on their catches. I think it's just going to be too much for the Seattle team, who kind of hasn't been able to figure out that offense. I feel like with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, you got to be running the ball a little bit more. Take some pressure off Geno Smith. You're having him drop back. And now with no DK Metcalf, I think it's just going to be too much for the Seahawks team to stop. I have the Rams winning this one 31-20. Next game, another divisional game, Green Bay Packers versus Detroit. No, we're not going with that one. My mistake. I am going to, sorry, another division. Giants hosting the Washington Commanders. Now, back in week two, Commanders won 21-18. And this was basically because the Giants didn't have a field goal kicker and they had to keep going they just couldn't kick extra points. And they couldn't kick field goals. So I thought they played them well. I think the Giants, that defense is kind of flying on their radar. That defensive front, divisional opponent, you kind of, you know, Dable kind of knows Dan Quinn a lot because of his years in Dallas. I like, and Daniel Jones looked good last week. Like, he looked good other than the, you know, ending the fumble and the, you know, the interception, you know, end of the game, I can't really put that on him. But I flipped my perspective. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, but regular season games, he can keep you in it with his legs. And Malik Nabers is going to be back for this one. He went off in the first week. Tyrone Tracy, rookie, fifth rounder, he's looked good running the ball. He looked great last week against Pittsburgh, and you could run on these Commanders. I am going to take Giants at home, plus +4 for them to cover. I have them covering 24-21, but they're still going to lose to the Commanders, 24-21. And then finally, last game, the Browns, plus +1 at home against the Chargers. That Jameis Winston effect. This was plus +2.5 Cleveland. It's dropped, but I still like the Cleveland Browns here to win outright. I think Nick Chubb, you could run on this Chargers team. Chargers, West Coast going East Coast. I don't know, Cleveland, I think they got that spark. Stefanski has a quarterback now who can get the ball, drive it downfield, get it to your playmakers. Chubb had a decent week last week. He's still working his way back from the ACL, but third week in, getting that knee right, I think he'll be able to have a good day against this Chargers defense. I still think this one might actually be a little bit of a shootout, but could be. But I am going to take the Browns plus +1 to win 30-27. We'll go that way. But that's going to do it for that and for the pod. So I will see you next episode for the next week when we have Thursday night. Let me check the schedule, because Thursday night football next week will be between the Bengals and the Ravens, which is a great divisional game. We'll see if the Bengals can get a win this week against the Vegas Raiders and kind of make a push for the playoffs, because they are sitting at 3-5 and not looking good. But that'll do it for the Final Play with Mikey Clutch. Have a good Sunday.
You have just tuned into the Final Play with Mikey Clutch on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports, it's a way of life.